Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Mr. Long, excuse me. Here we go.
It's a little cooler here, Tracy, than it is in Texas.
Really? No.
Yes.
It would never do that. Ah, so you, let me see, where are we? We're at 1 o'clock. You ready?
Yep.
We are live. And so, Larry, we're not live streaming yet because I haven't found that mouse yet.
All right.
It takes me a minute to find the mice. But we're live on Blog Talk, so anyone who is out there listening, we are here. And I have Larry Long with me, and good afternoon. You're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I'm Tracy Winbush, and I have Larry Long, who is my co-host. And he is
Hello, Trace.
Hey, Larry. And Larry's been sitting in a chair with me since 2006. You do the math. My math is bad today. And I've never met Larry's dad, I don't believe. But I have met Larry's father through him and through his stories. And then I met Larry's brother while I was on grand jury. And I met Larry's father when I met Larry's brother. And today I'm going to talk about something. I know the world is on fire. And in my belief, the reason why I believe that the world is on fire is because we don't have men and we don't have fathers. And as we lose our men and as we lose our fathers, we are losing our guidance. We're losing our strength. We're losing our tenacity. Because I believe in a patriarchal society, because I am a born-again Christian. And so in the last 24 hours, Larry had lost his father. And Larry's name is Larry Long Jr., and his father was Larry Long Sr. And I, as I said, I never met Mr. Long. But because of Mr. Long, I'm friends with Larry Long. And so I say that because we are going to dedicate this show to him and talk about who he is and how he made men, because he was a black man married to a white woman having these biracial kids in this great town called East Liverpool. Good afternoon, Larry Long. How you doing, baby? How's the family? How the kids? How's everybody doing?
You know, for all things considered, I mean, we're sitting there today. We did it last night, just sharing some stories, and there were a legion of stories about my dad. But I'm sitting at the park because it kind of illustrated who he was to this community, what he was to his sons and his daughters, his grandkids, and now great-grandkids. So I'm sitting at it's called Thompson Park. It's kind of the centralized thing here. The Thompson family had willed this land and they turned it into a park and they had the only swimming pool back then. And my dad, was, you heard a term fish out of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was rock in the water. He could not swim. Right. So it was a Sunday. Cause I remember we was little, probably Eric and I were probably 5, 6. Sean was a baby. I'm not quite sure Monica was here yet, but it was a Sunday. He was dressed up, and he took his kids to the park to go swimming, right? And a kid, I can only remember his first name, or I think it was last name, Stanley, dove into the pool, into the shallow end, hit his head, and was floating in the water. Now, my dad, that cannot swim, jumped into the water, got him turned over, and they got him on a backboard, and he helped, I mean, in his dress, Sunday dress, right, and helped perform CPR. They actually, he and my mother both helped save that kid's life. I went to school with him. He's a little year, a couple years older than me. He was a quadriplegic, and he's since passed now. But that's who my dad was. There's a guy last night. He works for K2K.
I got a question, Larry. Let me ask you this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know who your dad was, but who was your – you got to see this coming up. So your hero in your home was not outside your home, it doesn't look like.
No,
I want to slow this down. We've got some time. We've got some calls coming in. I think Styx is here, if I can find the right, again, find the right mouse.
You're 100% right there.
You're hero, so you didn't have to watch, you know, you watched your television or your action hero was a fantasy. It wasn't your reality because you had your own reality in your home. Hey, Styx, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. That's a good thing.
That's good. I got
What's
Mrs. Styx here, too. Hey, Larry. I'm sorry about your loss, brother.
Thanks, man. But you're right, Tracy. I didn't have to. Like, the guys, I was a Steelers fan. Franco Harris and them guys were just – that was something that was on TV.
So you didn't idolize them.
No.
So you didn't have to idolize a man outside of your home because you had a man in your home?
Yes. Not just a man. I mean, he was somebody posted on my Facebook page, somebody I don't know, but my dad coached him. And he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, that my dad had found the key to a golden life, which was taking young men and teaching them how to be men. I'm paraphrasing. He did it a little more eloquently than I could paraphrase, but that was who he was. He was a simple guy, but man, he was complex. And, you know, I remember just like most 18-year-olds, I'm ready to get out of the house and, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, Dad. Man, the guy keeps getting smarter and smarter the older I get.
So now, Larry, I got a question. I want to go back some years because you're only like 22 years old, I know.
Yes, exactly.
And so when you were a young lad, and Styx, I want you to jump in also because we're just open and having conversation. When you were a young man, your dad was an African-American, am I correct?
Correct.
And your mother was a white woman. Am I correct?
Correct.
And somehow they found each other.
Yes.
And that might have been in the 60s. Am I correct?
That was the late 60s.
So they found love on a two-way street back then.
Correct.
What gave them the tenacity to hold all that glue? Because you were a young man, because you were raised inside of that, and so I'm quite sure black gave you flack, and whites knocked you back. I'm quite sure.
Yes.
How did your father? What role did he play in that? Because he had to have some grit.
You know, my dad. When I say simple, there was either good or bad. He didn't care what color you were, what, you know, ethnicity you were, how much money you had or how poor you were, either good and bad, and he didn't tolerate bad. Does that make sense?
So he was no nonsense.
It was no nonsense, and he there was no gray area with him. He had set rules, and you either followed those rules or there was some consequences.
So, Larry, what kind of rules did you have in the house? What kind of rules?
One of the rules, Tracy, was that we talked about last night, my brothers and I, was the street lights come on, your butt better be home, right?
You had the same rule?
Oh, yeah. But See, the kids today, they don't understand that there was none of this, you know, light detectors. You know, it was like they had to come out and set it. So when it sprung ahead or, you know, and the street lights would come on, but it was still light out. It didn't matter. The street light was on. Your butt better be home.
Larry, let me ask you a question. And Styx, are you there?
I'm here.
How did we get here where there's no – you can't even get kids to go to school? But our our school buildings look like prison, little mini prisons. How did we get here? Jesus, how in the world did we get to for where you and I had to be in with streetlights and we feared dads and dads were important to where we have dads who are moms and we don't know if we're dads and we're not quite sure of what we're doing and if we say anything about it, everybody's in error and nobody's saying anything. And Father, he is important because it's based on God.
Well, one of the things
we
did, in my opinion, one of the things we did as a society was we took the authority away from the parents. If I'd have told my dad that you can't whip me or I'm going to call the police, he'd drop me off at juvenile hall. I don't want to even have.
Yeah, that didn't sound well, didn't it? That wouldn't have gone off. My mom is 93. There are things that are in my own house that I won't do because my mom is here. Do you understand?
Mm.
And I have young people who will do things in front of me, and they don't care.
I think Sticks is right, and I think the other part, Tracy, is we have – it's all about how the feelings is today. My dad hurt my feelings, right?
Ooh.
That happened.
Did he hurt your feelings? Did he crack your feelings?
He did.
A couple times.
But I see my sister this morning, right? Her daughter's 10 and was talking reckless to her mom.
Ooh.
And Monica took care of it right there, and I was in the kitchen smiling. You know what I mean?
Because, I mean, they had a look. You know, they look at you at the side of the eyes and it's like, stop.
Now, I don't want to paint my mom as some, you know, buddy that, you know, didn't toe that same line. Because she could hit you, she'd take her shoe off and hit you clear across the aisleway at the grocery store if you got out of line. You know what I mean? Or she would give you that look like, okay, we're going to the bathroom, and you know it was going to be ugly once you got to the bathroom. Or she would twist your ear. She'd grab you by the ear and twist it.
Just a little bit.
They didn't care that our feelings was hurt.
So how in the world? Look at you. And again, when I say I'm not... The Bible says, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And if you want to see a young man, you know men who've had fathers in their lives. And a man that lives in the home, very, very few people right now in our generation can say that both of their parents lived inside of their home their whole life. From birth to
life. Well, and it's been going down that hill for a long time. Jonathan was our old sweetheart. When he came home from school?
Second grade.
Yeah, our son was in second grade. He came home from school, asked my wife when we were going to get divorced, because everybody else is divorced.
I will say this to preface it. This is my statement. It does not say that a single parent can't raise their kid, because that's not what
I'm saying. That's true.
Remember,
my mom was a single mom, going to come from a different angle, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But we need to understand the importance in the institution of family.
Yes.
The father, because last night I had a conversation with a young lady, and I said, I need a man. And she said, no, you don't. Why do you need a man? You want a man. I said, I need a man. I need a man, but I need a man who's a man. And when you look at men today, we're not making men. We've got everything but a man. And even the men who think they're men aren't men. And don't get me wrong, and women are not women. And because we're out of order, we see the chaos and the disorder of our whole society. Look at America today. This is insane.
You guys know I've been reading that Rational Bible series from Dennis Prager. I'm currently reading Exodus. And one of the things he was talking about in there, going over the old law, and one of the things it was talking about marriage. And a commentary he made was, marriage is the last rite of passage for a man into adulthood. And we've short-circuited that. So now we have 40-year-old little boys running around. because women aren't demanding. The women aren't demanding that. What's that? What's that old thing about the milk and the cow?
That you can't get. You can't buy the cow until you buy. You can't have any milk until you buy the cow. It's just milk.
Right.
Milk's not free.
Right.
Something on that order. But this is the issue.
You know,
it's too. Everything is too free.
Well, women. You know, women have all the power in the society if they choose to take it.
I don't. But the problem is the power that we have. We don't know how to use it for our own benefit, because it takes a lot to stay together. When you look at husbands and wives, it takes a lot. You know, when I look at Larry, when I look at your parents, it takes a lot. If you look at the decades, you and your wife, you know, Larry, you've been married and divorced. I'm married and divorced. It takes a lot to stick together through thick and thin, crazy, tough times. And you got families and people and sisters and brothers. That's a world all in itself.
Yeah, yesterday was my mom and dad's 60th anniversary.
See what I mean?
Mm.
And they still like each other.
Well, sort of.
I was going to say, my parents in another week would have made 55. And, that like each other, I mean,
there were days.
You're right, Tracy. They had some, they had a little worse stick because back when they first met, Miss Genination laws were still on the books. Strike that down until in the Supreme Court until 1967. And by the time it filtered back to the states and the county level, my parents, shortly after I was conceived, they had to wait till that. They were the first interracial couple to be married in Columbiana County. And so they had that because my mom. And my grandmother, before she passed, told me the story. They're pushing me in the stroller sticks, and I was white. I mean, but everybody knew in Wellsville that Mobley girl had a biracial kid.
Had a black baby.
They're pushing me in the stroller down, and my grandmother told me how people that she knew, people that she would have called friends, went to the other side of the street because they didn't want to be associated.
Absolutely.
For them to make it damn near 55 years with all the other stuff that came out, because my mom wasn't treated with respect from African-American women.
Really? No, we would never. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
She stole one of our men, baby. She was on
the other. And she's a little tiny German woman, but she didn't back down. You know what I mean?
But she loved her man.
Yeah.
She loved her man. You can, because only a woman who loves her man will stick with him through all of that. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of respect. And they might have fought, but at the end of the day, the relationship they had to make it that long, baby, they got stories that you will never hear. How they endured. And what a blessing and what a testament, because when you look at the men, don't get me wrong, it's not that we didn't have a tenacity. We weren't raised with the grit, and society tore us apart and told us we could leave. Because when I look at my first husband, we didn't have a bad marriage. It was just one that was easily exited.
See, my wife and I have a saying. We're having a spat. I don't like you very much right now, but I still love you.
Oh.
Yeah.
One of my boys, former now, because you know I've since moved on, Tracy, but he told his wife, he said that she was being emotionally unattractive at this moment. And when he said that to me, I fell out of my chair, right? All the women in the office immediately hated him. And I said, listen, I've always wanted to say something like that, so I applaud you, but you know she's only going to hear unattractive. She's not going to hear the emotionally part. Oh. He's a young kid too. He's only 28 with two kids, and he's been paying for that for the last 2 years.
Oh, we mean 2 years. That's going to be forever, because you know we don't forget anything. You know that, right? It'll be 50
yeah.
years ago. Unattractive, huh?
Yeah, I was unattractive.
But you know what I found out about you guys? You guys are very literal. You know, we and women in the moment of we get mad, and you know we don't know how to hurt you, and you guys hurt us. And so we say things that we shouldn't say, and you guys take it and you run with it, and we can't take it back because we haven't tamed our tongue. And that's something we as women need to learn. Because you guys take it, you hear it, and you ingest it, and it's almost like a piece of fruit that grows. And we can't take it back. But then you guys say something or do something, and we will never forget it.
Emotionally unattractive.
And never forgotten. And we got to find ways to where we can make sure that we can start better cohabitating with each other so that we can have stories like Mr. Larry Long Sr. Because, you know, when you get hit with a bat when you're outside, he had a home to come to. And a man's home is supposed to be his castle. And right now in society, we're teaching people that there's no need for men anymore. And that's the biggest lie from the pit of hell I've ever heard. Women need men. Children need fathers. And they need mothers. We need women. This misidentifying what is a woman, the question now is, what is a man?
Mm.
We are identifying on the Supreme Court. How do you identify what a woman is? My question is, who and what is a man?
That's a good question. Who's the one guy that's going out there and do that? What is a woman? That's definitely something that we need to discuss.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
Who is a man? How do you what is the definition of a man? And what is his position in society today? Because right now, America has thrown our men under the bus. And they are not giving them the footing so that they can stand on their own 2 feet. And I'm not going to try to make this show political today, but the reason why we don't like Donald Trump is because we don't like men who stand on their word. Because he's an old school man.
The society has twisted the meaning of the word man. They've also twisted. Now suddenly anybody who stands on principle, firmly on principle, is considered a bigot.
Can't twist the word again.
Or you get
and
the
that's one of the traits of a strong man is you stand on your.
Yeah, look, sticks.
What?
Larry said toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
That's an invented word, but it has real meaning. It's saying that the traditional man, right, is toxic. Toxic means bad, right? So I was fortunate, Tracy, not just my father. I had a village. I had some great coaches, white and black. I had other African-American males, my Uncle Gary Pulley, and he had 7 brothers in Wellsville, Ohio, which is, believe it or not, smaller than East Liverpool. But, you know, they were all blue-collar guys, electricians, plumbers. And they, their kids couldn't go to a place, and so you know what they did? They bought their own little place and had their own DJs, and it was called Mr. P. And I almost every weekend, my dad would play cards, and we would all run down there together. So I got to see their interactions. Now I think there's only one Pulley brother left, and then my dad departed last night, and so I have failed in my marriages. But I am definitely making this one work because I saw what my mother endured these last 3 years, and that was true love.
Yeah.
You know, when she should have been, I mean, they did everything right. They raised 4 kids, sent them off to college, raised a couple of their grandkids. My dad saved, and that's another show that we could talk about how it is aging.
Oh, we will do that.
Yeah, and especially on the – my dad had Alzheimer's, and some of the stuff that they roadblock. So these last months, my mother had support, right? But before that, she was doing everything by herself. Now, my sister-in-law, my brother that lived here, my sister-in-law's mother, her sister, I mean, truly a village, the two guys across the street, my sister-in-law's father, everybody helped my dad, and I saw what my mom endured and went through. So she's sad now.
I'm sure.
I'm sure she will go through some relief because this is all she's done. I mean, since COVID, she was in the house with my father for 3 years. So I want that. I want that when I'm
taking
my last breath.
I found out this morning, it has taken, my mother had me when she was 34. And it has taken me 58 years to get to where my mother was in 1964 when I was born. And we are not making it easy for people to be able to walk into a better life. Because remember, you leave your parents' home trying to accomplish where you came out of and to go farther. And it's
right.
almost it's almost like a bow and arrow. And when you go to college, when you leave home, you almost pull back. Because remember, cable is not free when it's like at home. I mean, so you've got to pull back at it. And right now, we have to pull back so far. And we can't pull back onto what we don't know. And no one is teaching anyone life skills on how to live, how to survive, how to make it. When you look at what's going on down in Mississippi, I have had and been a part of a fire. Thank you, Jesus, for insurance. But when you start over and over again and you don't have any, and where do you go? And when you don't, and remember, we had fathers and we had men who were around who were that were, one was an electrician, and they worked together. They knew how to work together. And right now, everybody's waiting for the government to come and step in.
I didn't know concrete came from when I was 14 years old.
You didn't know concrete
the
came
only
where?
The only one I knew concrete came was a wheelbarrow, and sand, and gravel, and Fort was the mess. That was the only way concrete was made.
You understand? That's what I'm saying.
My family...
Right now.
My dad, my uncles built every house everybody lived in. I got my grandpa's Super 8 videos from or Super 8 movies from building their house in the 50s.
So how in the world right now? No one knows how even to clean up because no one knows what to do because we have taken the grit of success, the grit. Of movement.
It's worse than that. When our daughter was in college, he actually changed the tire for a young man. He didn't know how.
And let me see, and don't get me wrong, Sticks, everybody can't change a tire, but everybody should be a man. And again, the definition of a man, what is it? Because when I look at Larry and when I look at Larry's brother, and I haven't met his other sisters and brothers, but when I look at them and I see how they interact, I see how they've navigated, you see that there was a navigation of a man behind them.
You have to have a strong adult figure, a male figure in your life, just to simply know how to treat women.
The reason why, I have a lot of men, and my father was not around me, and my life became better when my natural father passed. But the stepfathers that I've had in my life were amazing because my mother was selective in who she brought in my life.
Mm.
Well, yeah, because, that's who teaches a young woman how a man is supposed to treat her.
So there was a standard that went into out of my home that my mother had that only the best came in that she could find. And they and she made sure that I was always protected, no matter what.
That's something I did with my daughter, too, Tracy. So I've taken her on daddy-daughter date since she was a toddler. I think it was about 15, 16. I was like, okay, I know you're going to start going out with guys. I said, but I don't want to meet them unless they treated you just like I did. And I think I set the bar high, right? The only two guys that she's ever brought and introduced me to, I like them both.
And that's
the one that she's, yeah. But she, I mean, the first one, I liked him, but he talked reckless to her, and she dumped him. And this kid was, he was at the Naval Academy.
Again, standards.
Like, yeah.
Standards.
I actually got that. It's not something I got myself. My friend Danny up in Michigan had three beautiful daughters. He loved all their husbands, you know. And I was like, what did you do? And he said, well, I just set a standard that don't bring no guy to meet me unless he treats you like I did.
And let me say this. Sometimes you get the wrong one. You know, don't get me wrong. Let's be real about this. You know, I'm married and divorced, and you guys, Larry, you're married and divorced, but Sticks, you found the right one the first time out. God bless you. The rest of us, you know, we were led by other things, and we made some mistakes along the way, and we've got our own journeys. But when it came down to making, and because of the foundation of the men that was in your life, the foundational men, not the superficial ones that show up later on in life.
Mm.
But I mean, the ones that came in when you know, that wouldn't let you walk across their grass because they just cut it. Or if your dog peed inside of their flower bed, you know they was going to call your mama. You know, those men.
The ones that do right with consequences be damned.
Correct.
Right?
You know,
yes.
Those. You
yes.
know, we had them, they came, and they were coaches. That
yes.
worked for free. They didn't tell us to go to school for a scholarship, but told us to go to school and become a man. Take care of your wife and your children. Don't, boy, you need to quit playing around with all them girls. Don't get all them girls pregnant. Don't do that. What are you doing? They would stop me. Your dress is too long. Your dress is too short. You got to cover up. We don't do any of that. No correction.
You know, when I got married, my father, the one piece of advice he gave me stuck with me. He always said, straight to work and straight home. Don't, no stops in between.
Hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons that Paula and I have never had other issues like that is because straight to work and straight home. You don't stop.
But you got a home to come to. Your wife has given you a home. Let's understand this. You have to create an environment for somebody to want to come home to. Nobody wants to go to work. Because remember, when we go to work now, most of us are going to battle. There's a lot going on in our work today. And when you come home, you want to come home to a place that has some type of similitude of order or something in it. The last thing you want to do is go to work and fight and then come home and fight, too.
Yes, but you need some tranquility.
You know, I need a little peace, you know?
I lost two of those type of men in less than a week. My dad and there was a guy, and I think I told you this story, Tracy. So
go ahead.
His name was Mr. Todd. His daughter, Missy, and I were best friends. Met in sixth grade, right? She was from the north side. Great guy, blue-collar guy, but he actually was his own businessman. He owned a tugboat on the river. I was up at her house. It was the summer, and I was helping him do something, and then he was like, well, let's go to the country club, go swimming. And I said, no, Mr. Todd, I'm not welcome there. And he said, BS, you're with me, let's go. As soon as I walked in, guy confronts me. This guy's pretty well-known in the community. He's at the country club. Says, puts his hand on my chest, says, you're not a member here. You're not allowed here. And it really was because of my skin tone. But Mr. Todd, in front of the entire country club, it was packed, dressed that guy down like a schoolboy, right? And pushed him out of the way, and I swam at the country club for the first time with me, because that was probably – there was probably other people that wanted – didn't want me in that pool, but Mr. Todd didn't care. That's what I mean, doing the right thing, consequences be damned or what – because I'm sure he caught some flack for that. But he stood on his principles. Yes.
But we had people who stood on principles. They taught us to stand on principles. I'm not sure how our children don't know how to stand on principles and how our grandchildren don't have any principles at all. And the only thing that they know is the principal at school. That's
well,
not your principal.
I've got a relative that cousin had a pair of twins out of wedlock, had no desire to marry the guy, and to my knowledge doesn't have anything to do with him. And her grandmother said something to her, and she said, "Grandma, you're just old fashioned."
Sometimes you just got to be old fashioned, and right now we need a little fashion in our old, because our society is coming apart at the seams. I mean, really, guys? We are killing ourselves from the inside out as a people, because we've lost our foundation, which is our family. We've lost our God. We've lost our family. And our government looks like run amok. Muck.
Well, the pecking order used to be God, family, and country. And somehow we've gotten those completely out of order. And family isn't even really it.
Family? What is a family? They tell me that they're dropping kids off at children's services like it's a business. Because we have taken the men. And then we're teaching women, I don't need a man. And the last thing you guys need is for me to sit back and tell you, you don't need me, I don't need you, because it breaks your ego. And when your ego's broken, your spirit is broken. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It depends on how bad it's broken. You know, some can recover. It depends on your fortitude. But you see some men who are not recovering. I'm looking at this Will Smith and Chris Rock thing again. Please understand. We don't look at the father figures that Will Smith did not win an Academy Award for. Look at the temperaments that he did not win an Academy Award for. And the one that he wins, he slaps the man. But the temperament of the man is the temperament that Will Smith had that night. It was so out of character. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Woo, you know, I'm a little weird. I'm just saying. And look at what it does to the community at large. And I want to take time right now. Because, Larry, you are sitting at a park. And
yes.
I'm quite sure it must be a park down there where you are from.
Yes.
In East Liverpool. And there's a story that goes behind the park of why you're sitting in your car with all your clothes. It looked like the Brown Steelers backup. Because there ain't nothing but hoodies back there and one suit. I don't even think
you know,
what?
There's a couple back there. Literally, so I and my brothers, hopefully they're listening, my sister, because I talked about it. I literally drove 1,400 miles in a day and a half, and I believe that he was waiting to go, because I had him put the FaceTime down there, Daddy, if you got to go, go. But I got to spend about an hour and a half with him before he took his last breath. I just wanted to make sure that he knew that I heard everything that he told me. Like there's that song. I think it's the Zach Miller Band, My Old Man. And I keep replaying it over and over and again. I must have played it a couple hundred times on the trip up here, because the lessons he taught me, some of them on this painful in. Everything he said, was 100% true and accurate. Now, Eric and I took the brunt of that because Sean came along when Styx was talking about the child abuse, right? It's a funny story, but and then of course Monica, she was the golden child, you know, dad.
Girl.
He'd always wanted
she's
a
the girl.
My daughter said something. She posted something really sweet because she was the only granddaughter for the first six. Now there's two more, but they came afterwards. You know what I mean? And so all the affection that Monica got was showered upon Lexi when she was born. And he was a good man, simple man. I'm still finding out. Before I got on the show, I talked to Drew Joyce, who coached LeBron James in high school. And my dad, he looked up to my father.
Wow. Wow.
My dad coached him. Yeah. And, you know.
So your dad was a football coach?
Yeah, he coached, coached at the high school level, coached at the middle school and then the Bantam, they call it the Pop Warner League. But that's all. He just loved teaching. I've at least a half a dozen people, some of them I don't even know. Hey, your dad picked me up and took me home from practice because that guy didn't have a ride or actually didn't even have a father in his life. So, you know, he poured into his community. You know, after we were done playing, him and my mom still went to the high school football and basketball game. Didn't know any of them kids. Now they go because they got grandkids in there. You know what I mean? But there was a gap there for 15, 20 years. They didn't even know any of them kids playing. But he loved his community. He loved his family. He loved his friends from work. And towards the end there, Tracy, where he didn't know any of us, there was a friend of his, Denny Lowe. Denny was in the room with him, and he's talking about Denny Lowe. He didn't know it. But somewhere in that, you know, basically Alzheimer's is your brain dying. Somewhere in that dying, Denny Lowe, in the 45 years they worked together over at the oil refinery, stuck in there. And I made sure I told Denny that we appreciated that because he didn't remember us, but he remembered Denny. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And, you know, I'm telling you, the people at hospice are
amazing.
Absolutely amazing folks.
The nurse,
she took care of it was amazing.
Hey, Larry, hold on. 314, your mic is on. Good afternoon.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bianchi. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear you, too, Tracy. It lets me know two things for sure. One, you're living. Two, you got your technology working today.
Yes, I do. Never to fail me again. You guys don't know how hard it is to be old and have to learn new technology. Do you understand? When I was growing up, we had wires, see? I still like them. And the other day, the power went out. We had pencil and paper. You'd be surprised what it'll do. And a calculator? Oh, my goodness. I was a rock star. Because, you know, you can't swipe a credit card when there's no power.
You got a point there.
Bianchi, I was thinking about you earlier, and I'm glad you called because I need to call you. I need to talk to you. But I was talking about when I was putting the show together in my mind after I had talked to Larry. When you first came on with us, your grandson was a very young man. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to see you be a part of his life and where he was then and where he is now and how important it is to have that father figure in these men's lives.
Yeah, that is very important. My grandson now is 25. He graduated from LSU with a double major, one in business with an energy minor, the other with petroleum engineer. He's working on his petroleum engineer at Masters, then to work on his doctorate. He's pursuing his FAA 107 certification for drones, then he's going to acquire his private pilot license.
Wow.
Then I told him he can do whatever it is he wants to do.
I think he fulfilled the list, didn't he?
He just about. But you know the thing that I tell you about him? He's 25.
Okay.
And he still plays baseball. But I told him, if he leaves the house, he just say, Papa, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'll be back at such and such time, so on and so on. And that was taught to him to do when he was coming up young. I often tell the story that it was two things that I made carved in stone. It was his academics, and if he wanted to play, matter of fact, I told him he was going to play baseball. So, you know, I trained him in baseball. He played for LSU's travel team. I would take him out and hit him 100 balls. And if he missed number 75, he had to start all over. At home, he would study 100 math problems. If he missed number 80, he had to start all over. So one time, after he had to start over about twice, he went to his mom and said, Mama, Papa keeps making me start all over. And his mama looked at him and told him, he made me do it too, so get back in there.
Okay.
916, your mic is on. Good afternoon.
Hello, Tracy. This is Robert Queener calling you all the way from Sacramento, California. Love your show.
Love you too, Robert Queener. How are you?
How you been? Doing good.
Celebrating great men.
Okay.
Sir?
Yeah, I said okay. I'm checking out your show.
Thank you for listening in. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Hope to see you around Labor Day.
Good to see you.
Yeah, hope to see you around Labor Day.
You'll see you then. 678, your mic is on.
Tracy, what's up?
What's this? Who's this?
You don't know me?
I can't tell by the voice.
You don't know me? You don't know this country accent?
Lord,
you should call
I'm
up
praying.
And debate every day. We should go at it. South Carolina.
Oh, my goodness.
Not so blind, Mike.
I know who this
Michigan.
Is. This skateboard down Market Street. How you doing, darling?
This is Alabama, man. You don't know, you ain't know that? What's up? Tell Pionki I say what's up, man.
Pionki
just called
hey,
up.
Hey, how you doing, Alabama? Your voice
what's
has
up,
changed
man?
A little bit.
No, man, I just left the gym. I'm in the gym. I just stepped outside. I'm outside and I'm a little out of breath. But, hey, it is what it is.
How's that son of yours?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing – see, Tracy did not realize who I am. Lord, have mercy.
Y'all know I'm slow.
I say Alabama.
Everybody
y'all
knows
know when
I'm
I say
slow.
Roll Tide, it ain't number one Roll Tide person called this show. Me.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Roll Tide, baby.
How old is your son now?
He's 7.
Let me ask you this.
He's
How
7.
Is fatherhood?
I love it. I love it. I love every second of it. Before he was born, I started setting money aside every month. In mutual funds, which are getting killed right now, but I feel like, hey, when he turns 35, he'll be good. You know, I'm going to just keep doing it. My business has grown. God to really bless my business. I want to quit coding and doing IT, but I got a real laid-back job. I work from home. I'm at the gym the middle of the day, so it's not a stressful job, but my business has grown real good, and I'm able to really help a lot. I've changed a lot of people's lives. We're helping people get into IT. So that's what
so
I do.
So you do
now.
Coding? You do coding?
Well, yeah, I've been. I was doing it back when I used to call in, yeah. But now I have a corporation, and what we do is we train people with no experience in six-figure skill sets. So all the skill sets we train on are $100,000 skill sets or more. We don't train on the CompTIA stuff. We don't fool with that. We do the high-end, you know, skill sets. We take you from not knowing anything to how to interview, what to say, what's on your resume, everything. We do it all. We
are
over $6 million. Go ahead.
Are you familiar with arbitrage?
Yeah, I know what it is. Why?
I'm going to call you up later on.
Yeah, hit me up.
I'm going to call you. Everybody's going to call you in a minute now that we know that you're still alive. I've been trying to hunt you down. I can't find numbers, so I can't spell Pionki.
Well, yeah, this is me. I still got the 33 phone number, but it's the same number.
I got a number to text and to call now. I got to get back to fathers. I got to get back to men. Because this is important to me. Women have to understand that we need men to be men, and what is the definition of a man and of a father? Because if you look what happened in Tennessee, there's a lot of layers to that onion when you say it's the first female, but she ain't female. She identifies as a female. That's transgender, and all of us in our minds trying to figure out, huh? And then we keep on going forward, and you shoot up a school. And so now we're going to send our children into prison.
They say transgender, but it's a woman that thinks she's a man. And that's really what it is. And so they need to stop saying transgender woman because I thought it was a dude.
See, so you're telling me it was a woman who thought she was a man?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, see, the devil, or should I say the elephant in the room, is that nobody wants to admit. I think they say like four or five of the last high-profile shootings have been transgender people. So
absolutely,
we want to just sit up here and act like these people don't have mental issues. When you see a man, big 6'5", 230-pound man walking around talking about he a female, that is a mental issue that needs to be addressed. What we're doing in society is we're playing with people and playing their game, you know. And that's just like Joe Biden the other day was like, well, yeah, if a child tells you at 5 years old, they're like, man, my son told me all type of stuff at five. He was a Power Ranger. He could fly. He could do so what I need to throw him off a building? Hey, that's just stupid. And it's like I don't even think this is really well thought out of an argument. And I think the left has overplayed their hand. Now, this is what I do believe. I think they're going to desensitize people and make us so used to it. In about two generations, people are going to be talking like that. We're going to all be using these little weird pronouns. And I'm going to be like, man, I didn't agree with gay marriage, let alone this. And I tell people, this is where I think people are messing up. When you okay marriage under Obama, shout out to Diva. I don't know what Diva at. But Diva was the main one, so loved Obama when he switched on gay marriage. And I remember I said, look, we're going to pay for that. Here we are today. Now they're going
paying,
after
baby.
Children. And people, yeah, they're going after children, right? But you can't really delegitimize them because you legitimize them by saying you believe in gay marriage. Now they can go into schools and place books with two men in them or two women in them because you got books with two women and with a man and a woman. So if you got, you know what I'm saying, the three little bears, you got mama bear, papa bear, now you got two papa bears or two mama bears because they made it like that. And now you legitimize it. And so now you let the genie out the bottle. It's all connected.
Yeah, Pionki.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
I can leave now because Alabama is a prime example of a good man. There you go, right
now,
there.
I'm in between sets. Actually, I just walked outside for a second to holler at Tracy, man.
I'm
going to
tell you something. Alabama, I'm very proud of you. I'm very, very proud
too.
Of you.
I am
Thank
too.
You, brother. Thank you. Thank
I am
you.
Too.
I appreciate both of y'all, man. Thank
I
you.
Am too.
I appreciate it. It's been years since we used to.
It's been five, six. It's been 6 years almost.
Man, you should have kept that show going. We was popping. We were popping, boy. You should have.
Do you understand?
You
they'd have thrown us off the air by now. We'd have been locked up in chains or dead somewhere.
Why?
We'd have been canceled.
They'd have canceled our culture because we can really come back now. But now we're older and wiser.
I think it evolved. I think it evolved, though. Like, I evolved. I was staunch Republican I ain't gonna say I was a liberal. I was always conservative, but I'm not a I wouldn't call myself Republican anymore. Especially after I seen them just help, you know, with this 20. I live in Georgia. I could tell you stories of getting people to knocking on my door days after the election, collecting ballots. Literally, after the election was over, they was coming and knocking on doors, man. Knocked on my door and asked for ballots. Say, hey, I'm with Stacey Abrams. Right hand to God. They cheated, man. It's real simple. They cheated. They stole. We know for a fact that Hillary Clinton outperformed this man in every metric, every major metropolitan area, except where it took 2 weeks to count the vote. They stole the 2020 election. They do that one more time, I'm leaving the country. I'm moving.
Bill, I'm going to find a time when we're going to do a show when you got time, because you have to understand. We have time.
Okay,
we couldn't do the show when they don't give you a portal. Now we have social media, so you can own your own. Remember, I had studios, and I was on radio, so when they didn't like what you said, they cancel you.
Yeah, but
so
it was
they
a debate format. But the format
again,
was a debate.
They don't want, they're not looking for debate, because debate sparks information and sparks stimulation. And stimulation of the mind causes people to think. And they're not trying to get people to think. They want you to stay asleep.
Yeah, look, I was a conservative. I know most of the conservative Republican talk show people are no Republican. But just to me, they turn their backs on Trump. Trump's my guy, period. Right, I think Trump's the greatest president we ever had, bar none. Right?
Now, let me ask you, is it because he's a father figure?
No, I like Trump because of his pro-business
policy. No, listen, Alabama. Is it because they don't want him to have a – they don't want strong father figures to be in
the
society?
They don't want masculine. Yeah, they want feminine, masculine. Yeah.
So
they don't
I
want
a
masculine man.
So, Larry, your dad, would he have ever put on a dress?
Oh, no.
Could you have paid him to put a dress on or some lingerie and go down the street and take a picture?
No.
For any amount of money, do you think? They would have
Trace,
to go
I'm
going to really
go in
high.
Here. I'm going to keep working out, because I got to leave in a minute, Tracy.
I love
good
you. We'll be in touch.
All right, Pionki. All right, I'll see y'all.
Yeah.
All right.
That wouldn't – no. Now – he brought up a valid point. I didn't think of that. I'm thinking of it now. I know that shooter in Colorado was transgender. And now this one, I have to go back and look at that. I think the transgenderism is they want these people to keep saying acknowledge my existence, but they're treating, because if you go back in gender dysphoria, has always been labeled a mental condition. But they're trying to apply that now that we call you by your proper pronouns. I just seen there was the most famous one. She was on, and I'm referring to her because that's what she wanted to be, she. But she was on the, I think it was American Airlines commercial, and she checked out. I mean, she had all this surgery, gender reassignment, all this type of deal, and still didn't fix what was in her
again
head. And
when you have dysfunction, you can't get anything but dysfunction. And but, right now, America's family model is dysfunctional. Go ahead, Sticks.
Well, we've gone off the crazy train. Right now, up at Akron Children's Hospital, they will start treating children as young as 7 years old for gender dysphoria. They will start hormone blockers and such. They're not doing the surgeries there.
Yeah, but...
Let me say this, but this is spiritual, and we got to go because we're at the end of the show, and I know, Larry, you've got business to take care of. Sticks, you're on the phone, and we're done with the day. I love you all. You have had a great show. You haven't seen anything yet. If we ever come together as one good circle, you're going to see the world turn upside down, because we have the best people in the world here at Tracy and Friends. I'm Tracy Winbush. Want to thank Larry Long. Want to thank Lloyd Sticks Burt. Want to give a shout-out to Larry Long Sr., and to say thank you, Jesus, for the life, for the family, for the people. So, God, now we ask you to cover them, take care of them as they go through this process. God, strengthen them and bring them more together and take them in the direction that you would have for them to go. And we forever give your name praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Larry, we love you.
Love you too. Amen.
You're welcome.
Care, Larry.
Hey, private caller, your mic is on.
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Sarge, and
hey.
I am responding to the importuning of my friend who told me about your show and suggested I should call in.
Well, I'm so glad to hear from you, Sarge, and if you will take my number and call me, I'd appreciate it so I can talk to you offline.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. Can you hold on a second, please?
Yes, sir, I'll hold on.
Hello?
Hey, give me my number.
But ma'am.
Hey, sir, you said...
Did you say you would like to speak to me offline?
Yes, sir. Call my number, 330-720-0000. Yes.
Okay.
330-720-0000.
Okay. Wow, that's easy. Okay. 330-720-0000. And when would you like to hear from me?
You can call me, because I'm getting ready to hang up on you because our show is over.
Oh, okay.
All right,
I'll be happy to call you.
This is my friend Sarge. See, now, giving you some good people.